Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello, and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us on this beautiful Saturday. I cannot say it is really summer. It looks like it's spring or some other time of the July the 17th. Of the year of our Lord 2021, and this is Usama with you from Missouri, and with us tonight, as usual, our producer and the best co-host, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. And hello, Christy, and how are you?
Well, Usama, I'm doing very well and very encouraged and excited about the positive things that God is doing literally on a daily basis. But they're little things. They're little things. But they're little miracles all the time. And I'm just thankful to know the Lord and seeing other people who are also committed to knowing the Lord better, for praying for other people and sharing the gospel with a greater commitment than they've ever had before. And it's awesome to see that.
Amen. Amen. Well, believe it or not, this week was an unusual week. I had a chance to talk to two Muslim, different time, one from Belgium and his buddy from Belgium as well, who are not really Arab Muslims. They have no idea what Islam is. And the other one was last night from Washington, D.C. So I've been blessed to be able to minister to Muslim people one-on-one, and I'm just praying that the Lord will continue to open these doors to get busy working with the Muslim one-on-one, because I believe that's the best way to lead Muslims to Christ.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's really one of the reasons why we try to educate people about Islam, so that they will not feel like they're in over their head if they try to share the gospel with Muslims. It's kind of hard to do that, Usama, because they'll tell you that they believe in the same God, and they believe in Jesus, and they believe in Moses, and then you're kind of thinking, wow, well, what do I say now? They believe everything I believe, but that's not true, and that's why we have to expose, reveal the truth about Islam,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know what, Christy? The Lord is really teaching me new ways to talk to Muslims. Like even the Arab guy I talked to yesterday, and I just went to the Shahada, which is the false witness when Muslims say, I bear witness. There is no God except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. And I asked him. I asked both of these two guys I talked to and the gentleman I talked to yesterday, and I said, do you believe that you're saying the right thing? He said, well, he said, yeah, of course. I said, have you ever seen Muhammad, heard Muhammad, touched Muhammad, smelled Muhammad, tasted Muhammad? How can you bear witness that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah when you know nothing about him? And they were quiet for a minute. I said, you say I bear witness. He said, yeah. I said, have you seen him? He said, well, how can you bear witness? What if he's a false prophet? What if he never exists? It was a moment of silence where I believe the Spirit of God was talking to these people. And there's many ways you minister to Muslim people. But the idea of the two Belgians I talked to, they said, well, you know, because I read the Quran, and the Quran talk about Isa and Moses and Abraham and David, and I found the truth that I said, have you ever read these names, biblical accounts from the Bible? And the answer was no. I said, how do you know you're reading the truth? It's not because I'm giving you a piece of paper, have the word $100 bill. That does not mean it's the right one. It could be a counterfeit. If you never see the real money, how do you know what you have is real?
That's right.
And there is a moment of silence there too. So I'm challenging the Muslims to study the Quran and to learn about the Quran from other sources. Don't just read the Quran and believe in it. Don't just read the Bible, believe in it. Investigate what you're reading. Investigate what you're studying, so you know for sure if you're on the right track or you're on the wrong track.
That's very good advice, because that applies to people who have taken the words of false prophets, not just Islam, but other false teachings. And because someone has proclaimed themselves to be a prophet, or they proclaim themselves to have extra knowledge that other people don't have, or they claim to be better educated about the Bible than you are, people will tend to listen to everything they say. And this is how many, many false teachers have a following. Many, many false prophets have a following. And just what you're saying, how do you know this is correct or true unless you test it? So I think that applies to Islam. It applies to all other cults as well, right?
Absolutely, Islam. Because believe it or not, the cult, for the cult to work right, it has to be very close to the truth. It has to have lots of truth in it, but a little bit fraud. Which means if I give you a dollar, a square dollar, with my grandma or grandpa picture in the middle of it, of course you're going to figure out if it's the wrong color or wrong size or wrong words. Of course, any person who's logic will say, oh, that's a counterfeit. But if I give you a true counterfeit to a $100 bill with the same information, almost everything on it the same, that's when you get deceived. And I can trick you with a piece of paper which is not a true money. And that is how it is with Islam or any other cult,
yeah.
Jehovah's Witness or Mormon. You meet with Jehovah's Witness and Mormon, and you sit and you talk with them, and you may think you are talking to a Baptist minister, but in reality, they are cults. They are way,
yeah,
away from the truth. And so it is with Islam, because they hear these names, Jesus and Moses and Abraham and David. Oh, they must be on the right track. No, they're not. But they will never know it until somebody will reach out and lead them to show them, here's the falsehood of the Quran. Here's why the Quran is not the word of God. Not only because the Quran contradicts the Bible, but because even worse, the Quran contradicts the Quran.
Yeah, so when we are talking about revealing the truth about Islam and making people aware of the false teachings of Islam, one of the problems and why this is so important, and we're going to talk tonight about propaganda, but one of the reasons it's so important to have that discernment and understand the difference in the teachings in the Quran about Allah and what the Bible says about God, the God of the Bible and Allah of the Quran, they're not the same. And when you have that that confusion in your mind, what do we see? Why are Christian ministers standing alongside Muslim imams in front of their congregations or in front of the Christian students, bringing them together to meet with Muslim students? That is why this is so important for people to understand the truth about Islam, because the Muslims, as we know, planned over 30 years ago that they would infiltrate our education system, our entertainment system, our media, news industry, our school systems, and they have done it. And now they're even infiltrating our churches. So, again, what do we want to happen to Muslims? We want them to get saved, to know Jesus. But if Christians are accepting them as the same, they're not going to minister to them. They're not even going to share the gospel, because they're just going, oh, well, they're fine. They're Muslims, so they're doing just great. I've heard this from people in my own, you know, connected family. And it's so disheartening, because they don't understand the Bible and the Quran, Christianity and Islam, Judaism and Islam, they do not mix. Remember that video that we had talked about? I'm sorry, you there?
Which video? I'm
the
sorry?
One where it said Muslims can't get along with anybody. You know, that little video.
Oh, yeah.
Muslims with,
You talk about the whole world can live together in harmony except when it comes to Islam. And Muslims don't even live. The worst scenario is to have Muslims live with Muslims.
Yes, they can't even get along with each other. So that was a very excellent video, and that is the problem. So we want to expose that so that not only so Christians understand, Muslims need salvation. You need to talk to them about Jesus. You need to pray for them, and you need to reach them for Christ. That is the solution. But definitely the wrong thing to do is for Christians to think that Islam and the Jewish faith and Christianity are all part of the same thing. No, they're not. So anyway, did you want to say anything else about?
Yeah, one thing I'd like to show you a little bit quickly. Today in my radio program, which I do in the Arabic language on Saturdays, I talk to Christian from all over the Muslim world. And you know, I've been talking with them about different study, trying to open the Quran and share with them. And literally, I got a phone call from one of the sisters, and she told me, we don't really want to hear about, we don't want to learn about the Quran because I don't meet any Muslims. I said, whoa. I was on the right track, but now I know that I'm on the wrong track, not only with that sister, but others, because she is telling me, They just want to learn about, if Muslim ask us some questions, if Muslim will, come to us, how we answer them. So they want to know, in simple words, tell us the questions which we may have, we maybe will hear from the Muslims, and how to answer this question. We don't want to study, we don't want to go in depth like you want to teach us. I say, whoa. These are godly Christian people who meet and pray for 2 hours. They meet to pray all week long, but in my meeting here, and then I come and speak with them for an hour. So I believe the Lord directs my move, my thought today, and I talked about the Great Commission, and I said, we the Christians in the Middle East, we are the one who knows exactly, not just the flavor and the color and the shape of Islam. We know everything about Islam for 1,400 years. These people have abused us and invaded our land, invaded our privacy, invaded our sisters and our mothers and our daughters. That's how Islam grew. They took over. And I say, most of these people now, they're from all over the Muslim world, but most of them live in America. And I said, the Great Commission forced us to share the gospel with the Muslim people all over the world. Because the scripture says, go to the end of the world and make disciples. This is a command. This is not a suggestion. And I said, we the Christians of the Middle East are not really excited about searching for Muslims and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Muslims. I said, what is wrong with the picture? I said, when I started teaching this hour study or hour 15 minutes, whatever I spent with them every week, every Saturday, it was because one of you sisters, one of you called me and said, this Muslim guy want to learn about Islam, and he starts writing to me on Facebook, and he really want to know about Jesus, and I don't know how to answer his questions. When I talked to that wonderful Muslim guy, I found him to be a Muslim jihadi, a Muslim imam. He knows exactly everything about Islam. He was not talking with that sister because he want to learn about Jesus, he want to learn about Christianity because he's interested to become a Christian. He was causes her to doubt the Christian belief for the purpose to lead her to Islam. That is the whole point. And believe it or not, on Facebook in the Muslim world today, that's what they're doing. Muslim da'ayah, Muslim scholar, Muslim imam, Muslim teachers, that's what they do. That's what they work all day long on Facebook and other places like that to minister to the Christian. I said, because she did not know the answer for her question, she asked me to come and teach you an hour every week. And now, after all this time, I've been doing that for almost 6-7 months now. And now you tell me you're not really interested to learn, you just want an easy way out. I said, we should, as Christians, do the same, but even more, because we got the truth.
We should be excited about ministering to Muslims. We search for them, and we find them, and we lead them to Christ. And I shared with them about these three people I talked to 3 days ago and yesterday, and I said, every one of us should search for some Muslims and share the gospel with them. But you cannot be effective minister to them if you don't know too much about Islam. That's why I want you to study with me. That's why I want to equip you so you'll be ready to talk with a Muslim at any time. At any time. So I hope and I pray that we're not missing this here in our program tonight, that we're not just talking a little bit about Islam, revealing just about Islam and other things we talk about for the sake of talking. No, I'm talking about education. I'm talking about knowledge, because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and the American people will be destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I challenge the Christians from the Middle East who live here in America to minister to any Muslims they meet, or even to their neighbors who know nothing about Islam. I said, if you can just learn what I teach you and share this with your neighbors, the American neighbors, you will save America. So this is my heart desire for all citizens. The Great Commission is to go to the end of the world and make disciples of all people. And guess what? In America, we got all people. So let us learn about Islam and let us expose Islam for our people in America and for the Muslims who live in America, that we can have a better result and a better end than what we are walking through right now. Sadly, as you mentioned, Christy, with the liberal churches and the liberal Christian who reach out to the Muslim to hug the Muslim and become best friends.
Yeah, without sharing the gospel. Or they share the gospel, but they have no conviction that Islam does not have the same beliefs, even though they'll tell you they don't believe Jesus was the Son of God. Usama, we have a caller. So before we move on and our main topic we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to be focusing on Islam, but we're also going to be talking about things that are going on in the news, and we're going to talk about the propaganda, a very important subject. So let me get the caller. Are you ready? Usama?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Go ahead. Bring the caller.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Go for it.
All right, caller, the last three numbers in your phone number are 863, and I'm bringing you on the air now. Go ahead. Who have I got on the line? Hello?
Hello?
Yes,
hello,
hi.
Hello, can you hear me? My name is Tom from California. I got a question. Why does Islam say accept Allah and the Muhammad, the prophet, when Muhammad did no miracles and they know that Jesus did miracles? Why don't they say accept Allah and Jesus Christ, because Muhammad is a sinner and Jesus, they know that Jesus did not sin? Why do they put Muhammad above Jesus?
I'll let you address that. Go ahead.
Very good question. The problem with our dear Muslim friends who believe in Allah and Muhammad, and they believe, even though they know Muhammad did not perform any miracles, but they believe that Muhammad brought the greatest miracle of all, which is the Quran itself. Yes, Muhammad did not heal anybody, but actually in our presentation, Muhammad or Christ was greater. We have a comparison between Jesus and Muhammad and say Jesus healed the sick people, but Muhammad, maybe like somebody have a withered hand. Jesus healed it. Muhammad cut their hand. Jesus healed the man who could not walk. He stand up and walk on his feet. Muhammad cut the healthy feet. Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, but Muhammad poked the eyes of the healed people, and so on. Everything good Jesus did, Muhammad did the opposite. But to the Muslims, that means nothing. Because they believe in their head that the greatest miracle of all, it is the Quran. You see, when Jesus came in his days, they would tell you, there were many magicians and people do miracles and stuff like that. So when Muhammad came, that's why Jesus had to perform miracles. So it is in the case of Moses. He performed miracles because the magicians of Egypt were performing miracles. But in Muhammad days, people were writing poetry, and Muhammad had to come with the best of the best of the poetry, which is his Quran. And believe me, my friend, when you study the Quran, you'll find that it is a very wacko poetry, much greater poetry than Muhammad. And Voltaire, the French, make much greater poetry than Muhammad, but neither Voltaire or Shakespeare claim to be prophets. So it's not about poetry. When you study the poetry of the Quran, it's a joke.
It's a comedy, especially when the poetry in the talk of Abraham, for example, perfect, well said as his father, who was an idol worshiper. So if Abraham speak poetry wonderfully in the Quran, and his father also speak with the same ending of the words, it's like, wait a minute. The sinful people can write beautiful poetry as the prophets in the Quran, and you call this the word of Allah, but the message of the Quran is a joke. As I was sharing today in my program in the Arabic, he was adding words to his poetry, which does not make any sense to the sentence, but because to end the sentence with the same words, with the same, you know, how the poetry is written.
Rhyme. Rhyming,
He just added the same words over and over again. For what reason? Muslims do not say the Quran but a great miracle, and that's why Muhammad the prophet. But in reality, if they study that poetry of the Quran, they'll find there's no miracle, but there's plenty of error, nonsense. I mean, plenty of error, but they rejected Jesus simply because Muhammad, the great miracle performer, which is the one who brought the Quran to the Muslim people, told them that Jesus is not the Son of God. Jesus did not die on the cross, and he never rose from the dead. So obviously, they believe a man because of the great miracle of the poetry of the Quran, and believe whatever he said, even though everything he said and everything he did was evil.
The Muslims believe in the Bible too? Because Louis Farrakhan always quoting the Bible in his talks. Louis Farrakhan always uses the Bible.
Yeah, I was just watching him 2 days ago. Louis Farrakhan is not a Muslim. Louis Farrakhan is a nation of Islam. Louis Farrakhan is a lost man. I would love to challenge him for a debate to show him and his people that he's not a Muslim, he's not a Christian, he's a comedy. He's a joke. He's a funny joke. Sadly, he quotes the Bible because he believes the Bible, but Muslims taught in the Quran, they must believe in the Bible, and they must accept the Bible. And the Quran taught that the Bible is perfect. No one can change the word of Allah. And the Quran came as guidance and protection for the Bible. So logically, if you understand the Quran, you have to accept the Bible. But in reality, nothing in the Bible fits with the teaching of the Quran. So you have to reject the Bible if you're a Muslim and accept the Quran, or you have to reject the Quran if you're a person with logic or common sense, because not only the Quran does not fit with the Bible, but the Quran does not fit with science, with a data study just a few weeks ago about the embryology, the stages of the growth of the baby. It's a comedy. Everything about the Quran is a comedy. So the Quran does not fit logic or common sense or the biblical stories which Muhammad copied from the biblical account and he put in the Quran bits and pieces. That's what we'll be doing here tonight, Lord's willing, when we get to the study about Abraham.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Sure, brother. Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. God bless you.
Hey, Bob. Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. that was a good question, and that was good to be understanding that part of what goes on with the way that Muslims believe, or they say they believe the Bible, but the Quran contradicts the Bible. It's just crazy. Anyway, Yusama, I want us to cover a little bit about the subject that we have for our news and commenting about the news. And we know that right now, I believe we are at a very critical time because the news media has gotten so corrupted, and I didn't even realize how bad it was until I had a conversation with a family member who was literally telling me things they were saying on the news, and I'm thinking, what kind of wacko news is this? Then I saw the news myself and realized this wacko news is what was on my local TV channel. And I don't know if it was ABC or CBS, but I couldn't believe the things they were saying. So a lot of things that are in the broadcast.
Let me interrupt you for a second, Christy. You and I talked about that after your conversation with your family member, but believe it or not, I was watching the news yesterday, CBS, and they were saying the same thing you were talking about. I think they are a broken record. They're going to repeat the same thing about Trump and his people as how evil they are, and they're going to keep doing that to brainwash not just your family member, but the rest of the naive Americans. Same thing, what you and I were talking about. Yeah.
Yes, and that's why I started to put together some information that we have known for a long time. In America, particularly, older people are aware of concept of propaganda and what mm-hmm. that can do. So basically, when I emphasize all the time, find good sources of news, because you need to know what's going on. And I have Christians, and I know how it is. Sometimes it just gets you so depressed, you don't even want to know what's going on. And that's mm-hmm. understandable. People do get tired of just hearing negativity. But the problem is, as I remember our German friend, Zabila, who shared with us the struggles of her family in Germany and how her father would sneak up into a room by himself and turn on a shortwave radio because he was desperately trying to find out what was truly going on in the war, what was truly going on in Germany, because they had been taken over with the propaganda arm of the Nazis. They literally did not know what was actually happening in the world because of all of the lies being told. So we heard this story from Zabila. I've heard it also from another family member whose mother grew up in Germany, similar to Zabila, and the things that they encountered and went through and did not know. They did not know what was going on. But the Holocaust, the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, is a really good place to get some information, not only about the Holocaust, but how it came about. How did this happen? How did people get involved in something mm-hmm. as a whole country that was so horrible that people who were living in Germany, and after the war, when they discovered the Auschwitz and the death camps, they were so ashamed because they didn't realize what was going on until it was too late. So the introduction to the Holocaust in the Holocaust Museum, they have a Holocaust encyclopedia, and it just says the Holocaust was the symptomatic state-sponsored persecution and murder of 6 million Jews by the Nazi regime and its allies and collaborators. Some of those collaborators and allies were Muslims. The Nazis came to power in Germany in January of 1933. They believed that Germans belonged to a race that was superior to all others. This is why these socialists stir up racism. They claimed that the Jews belonged to a race that was inferior and was a threat to the so-called German racial community. You see, this socialist movement has at the heart of it things like critical race theory. This is a necessary component of destroying the trust from one person to another, one human being to another, based on something that cannot be changed. If I hate you because you have blue eyes, how are you going to change that? Oh, well, you can put in contacts, but somebody will know that you really have blue eyes. When you start telling people to hate someone over something as the color of their skin, you can't change that. But this is what they instill. So it's just really important. If you have never understood what happened in Germany, and there are many people who know a little bit about it, but you need to understand the role that propaganda played. So I'm going to read you the definition of propaganda, because it sounds almost kind of like not really that bad, like it's sort of harmless. It's information, especially of a biased or misleading nature, used to promote or publicize a particular political cause or point of view. I've used this word all the time when I've said we are suffering from we're just being attacked with propaganda every day. Propaganda on the news, propaganda on the television programs that are made for children, propaganda in your school system. I hate to say it, but it only took them a year in Germany to destroy freedom of the press,
sure,
and freedom of
mm-hmm.
speech in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to
mm-hmm.
say it, but it causes you to wonder, how long is it going to take them to do that here? How long is it going to take? This is also from the Nazi propaganda and censorship under the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. You can look at that online. It has lots of information there. And it explains, when the Nazis came to power in 1933, the German Constitution guaranteed freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Through decrees and laws, the Nazis abolished these civil rights and destroyed German democracy, starting in 1934. One year, it was illegal to criticize the Nazi government. Even telling a joke about Hitler was considered treachery. People in Nazi Germany could not say or write what they wanted. How close are we to this here in America?
We're almost here. We're almost here.
It's very terrifying, really.
Yes, ma'am.
But we have to stand up against it. So how did propaganda continue to be used? And again, I'm not going to read, these are the slides that I put in our slideshow, but here's an example of what they did during the implementation of the Final Solution, which was their attempt to destroy and kill all the Jews in Europe. The SS officials at killing centers compelled the victims of the Holocaust to maintain the deception necessary to deport the Jews from Germany and occupied Europe as smoothly as possible. One of the things that went on is they put the Jews on trains and told them they were going to get them to a safe haven in Palestine. They were taking them to these camps. In other cases, they told the German people, well, they're just going to a camp where they can work because, you know, we need them to be out of our society. They're not a pure race. They're the race that is not good. Does that sound like something that might be happening in America right now? There are good races and bad races. So they put these people on these trains and told them they were going to camp. But you and I know that Zabila told us later on they knew where these people were going, and the churches knew and couldn't do anything except sing louder when they heard these trains going by and the people calling, the screaming.
Yeah, I remember Zabila when she said to us, or she said to me, I don't know if you were with me or not, she said,
I was with
the Lutheran church, in Germany, they're by the train track. And they normally have what they call sleepy service. These few people are singing and few people are doing this and hardly anybody praying. It was literally becoming so liberal. But when they see the train coming, and because they know that the Jewish people will be crying out loud from the train because they see the church and there's like crying for help, That's when the preacher plays the piano louder and sing louder and louder, because you don't want to hear the cry of the Jewish people.
Yes.
You don't want to hear the cry of the Jewish people. And that is the only time when they really sing loud, because the train is coming by and it's loaded by the Jew who are going to be taken for the slaughter. And the church did nothing but to sing louder. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
So the rest of this little slide that I put in our slideshow says the concentration camp and killing center officials compelled prisoners, many of whom would soon die in the gas chambers, to send postcards home stating that they were being treated well and living in good conditions. Here the camp authorities used propaganda to cover up the atrocities and mass murder that they were committing. You know, I asked the question in our description of the program, has propaganda ever killed anybody? And I believe the answer is absolutely yes. This is why police find reliable sources of news, not just one. Here in America, yes, our whole media has gone nuts. Our school system has gone nuts. The commercials and advertising have gone nuts. But the truth is still out there. And so try to find those good sources like Worthy News, like Mike Lindell's new Frank Speech, which is Lindell TV. You know well about that because Brandon House is a producer there. And I also talk about America's Voice News. It's called Real America's Voice or America's Voice, depending on where you find it. It's important to know what's going on, because one day you're going to want to know what happened, or you're going to want to know what can I do to stop it. Hmm. And you're not going to know, because the only thing that will be left is that propaganda if God doesn't intervene. And so it isn't just about doing the things to know what's happening. It's to pray, to stand up for the truth, to seek like-minded people to pray with. You have freedom to go to your church. I'm sorry that Biden thinks he can shut churches down. But, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this, because we're hoping to have Pastor Art Pulowski, whose family escaped from Poland and the Nazis. And I want people to understand, if they've seen that film of him screaming at these people, get out of my church, you Gestapo, you Nazis, leave here. He's not crazy. He is not crazy. This is what the socialists do. People don't realize, you know, they hear the word Nazi and they think all these terrible things, which is good that people know they're terrible things. But they forget that the Nazis were the National Socialist Party of Germany. And then here we are in our own Congress, our Senate, some of our top leaders promoting socialism. Oh, isn't it interesting? They also support critical race theory. It's disgusting.
Sound crazy.
Anyway.
Sound crazy. Well it is what I want to say about the Muslims do not believe in the Holocaust because they still see they are Jewish in the world. And that is a good excuse why the Holocaust did not take place, because we still have Jewish people in Israel. And if you can convince them that really 6 million Jews were killed by the German in the Holocaust and others, they would say, well, praise Allah. We cannot wait for the final day, the day of judgment, as we will be killing the last Jew. Literally, they're waiting for the day to kill the last Jew. These are the true, honest, true Muslim believers. They believe, according to the prophecy of their Muhammad. I mean, this is a prophecy, Christy. If you believe your Muhammad is a prophet and give a prophecy that the day of judgment will not come until the Muslim kills the last Jew, you can't help it. You have to believe in it. And the Muslim will kill the last Jew. The rock and the tree will cry out, oh, Muslim faithful, come, there's a Jew hiding behind me, and behead him. That's exactly what Muslims looking for before the end of time, that they will kill the last Jew. So you're talking about the crusade, they talk about the Holocaust, it did not happen to some Muslims because they are waiting for it to happen. They cannot wait for it to come, and they will be part of it to kill the last Jew. As I was in was Brandon House on Mike Lindell last TV program I did with him, where he played Imam Yusuf al-Qaradawi, and he said he cannot wait to have the gun and kill the last Jew. He himself want to kill the Jews. That is a man who is collecting millions of dollars from the American people on a daily basis with Sharia finance. And God help us that we are so dumb that now we are supply all the financial needs of the Muslim Jihadi, Muslim Brotherhood, Yusuf al-Qaradawi and all his people by our money to make sure they got all what they need financially for our own destruction. This is the long strategic goal as we see it from the Holy Land Foundation trial, that we would destroy our hands, our country by our own hands and by the Muslim believers' hands. It's exactly it's what's happening in America, and sadly, there's not too many people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely, that the teaching of the Quran is very clear. This is why, as you have explained, the Jewish people are a target of Muslims. This is why they supported Hitler. They Bosnian Muslims were in the SS. The Mufti of Jerusalem was a supporter of Hitler and his propaganda people and his help and his plan to kill all the Jewish people. That man, oh man, they loved Hitler. And if like you said, if you meet one who is honest, they will say the real Holocaust, get ready for the real Holocaust. They'll talk about how Hitler was right, and you'll see them holding signs sometimes that are that honest, but it's usually not in America that you see it. You see it in other countries. Even in Britain now, we have lots and lots of pictures of them standing there with signs saying, get ready for the real Holocaust. Hitler was right. You know, when we look on the internet now, you know, you always think that you're going to find things, and this is another reason why I talk about the propaganda. Usama, I went on there trying to find any information about the election audit in Arizona and the reporting they did to talk about the election fraud. Do you know you can put it in a search engine? And you cannot find
nothing.
Nothing comes up. So this is where we're talking about propaganda and censorship. Telling the truth. I mean, it's not just about telling lies and not telling the truth, but it's also about hiding the truth.
Sure. I hate to change the subject, but I think it fits perfectly. If you look what's going on in Cuba right now, how they're shutting down the internet. It's exactly what's happening in America. They're shutting down the knowledge on the internet. It's the same thing. What happens if you have an internet and all what you see in it is the propaganda, the lie, the hogwash, the falsehood, but the truth is not there. You might as well just shut down the internet in America too. It's the same thing.
Well,
if I'm
going to
the internet now and find the lies and get deceived by it, but I could not hear the truth, why we even have internet? Make it Cuba in America. Make it Cuba in America. What's so amazing from what I've been watching in the news, Christy, Black Lives Matter actually supporting the movement of the government of Cuba.
Yep.
They're here in America to tell us that what's happening in Cuba is good and the government there have the right. Socialism, communism in Cuba is coming to America if the American people, the good one, will keep silent. I really, really want you, maybe tonight, Chris, if you can, to play for us this good sermon about the sin of silence. It's very important. We talked about it a few weeks ago that we're going to play it, but we never did. It's so powerful because
yes.
The answer is if the Christian will stand up, if the conservative will stand up and speak out loud, but to pray and be quiet about it and maybe fast about it and maybe pray about it and maybe no, that does not do it. The sin of silence is worse sin than the sin of the wicked socialist, communist, Muslim, and Democrats.
You know, Usama, I'm glad you brought this up because the whole thing is you are supposed to pray, but you pray as a preparation for action.
Sure.
It says faith without works is dead. There's a reason. I can have faith and I can pray and I can talk to God. And I mean, that is wonderful. And if you're close to the Lord and you sincerely are praying, he's going to talk to you about taking some actions, about being an instrument of his message, of his ministry. He says we're the body of Christ. We're not supposed to be praying and praying and praying and doing nothing with what God's given us. You know, the salvation we have is to be shared, like you were telling us earlier tonight, the Great Commission. But you know, Usama, I want to tell you, because it is so hard to get this information online, and only a few networks like OAN and Real America's Voice, I think Newsmax may have, although I have issues sometimes with Newsmax, so I don't watch it as frequently, but election fraud analysis. This was sent to us from an old friend of ours, Ken. He sent me this email, and I sent him an email back, and I said, thank you, because I watched this program, but I wasn't able to write this details down. And this is what was reported in the Arizona election audit. So here's what we have. The first point, 74,000 mail-in ballots from voters for which there's no record of them being mailed out. In other words, when someone requests a ballot, it's mailed out, and the election board or the election courthouse or whatever, they're supposed to make a record that they sent a mail-in ballot out. So there should be as many ballots mailed out as there are coming in. In fact, usually there's more mailed out than come in. But 74,000 ballots came in, no record of them being mailed out. So there's a problem. It's exactly 74,243. Thank you, Ken, for that information. I did see that, but I didn't write the details down, so this is really important. 18,000 ballots were from voters. Listen to this. Who were taken off the voter rolls after the election. They were on the roll, and then when they went back in December, these people had been removed. The 11,000 of the ballots were from voters who were not even on the voter rolls on election day. So they voted, listen to this, but then they were added between November the 7th, that's 4 days after the election, and December 4th. So these people voted. They weren't on the voter rolls, but somehow somebody added them on. This is all after the election. So that was a total of 11,326.
This will not happen in the third world country, Christy. This will not happen in the whole Asia. But it's happening in America. And the funny thing is the media will not talk about it. And by the way, how many difference between the vote, the victory of Biden over Trump in the state of Arizona?
I'm going to give it to you because he put the whole thing down, and I know this is the correct information because I saw it a couple of times already, but I just didn't get it written down. 4,000 ballots were from voters who registered after the October 5th deadline. So that's 4,000. It's really 3,981. They're not supposed to be voting registering to vote after October 5th. That's the law in Arizona. But they let 3,000 981 register after the deadline. Okay, so here we go. The total number of bogus ballots that should be removed from the Arizona 2020 election totals 74,000, 18,000, and that's like 74,000, 18,000, 11,000, and 4,000 equals 107,000 ballots that are invalid. The margin of victory for Biden and the two Arizona senators was approximately 11,000. Biden won by 11,000, and we got 107,000 invalid ballots.
85,000 vote plus.
Yes.
He won. 85,000 votes, but they gave it to O'Biden.
You're sick. But I just thought that was really important because not only are we seeing all these signs of that are just, I mean, these things are very, very, very disturbing.
I make a bet. What happened in Arizona happened in Michigan. What happened in Michigan happened in Wisconsin. What happened in Wisconsin happened. I mean, literally, in all these six different states,
yes.
Mr. Trump lost. He
Georgia.
Actually won each and every one of them, but they gave it to O'Biden, and it's the end of the story.
Well, I tell you what, these other states are now, there's a movement. I can't remember the exact name, but it's something like Recount America. They want all 50 states audited. And Rachel Maddow, as I was talking about, who is basically the spokesperson for MSNBC, she's going on and on. Why would they want a recount of ballots in Oklahoma? Trump won all but maybe two or three or whatever counties in Oklahoma. How come they want a recount in Oklahoma? And the response is the American people deserve to know just how far this fraud went. How far did it go?
It went everywhere. I guarantee
and that's,
even,
yes,
the state,
yes.
Chris, even the state,
yes.
Of Florida, which Trump won,
yes.
I guarantee you, Trump was extra another 18 million votes. I mean, no kidding.
Yes.
I mean, that guy is, who knows, he maybe actually won California. How do we know?
Yes, and that's why this is important because, and stay tuned for what Mike Lindell is going to have as well, because he is able to show. This is another thing that I found and watched on the news today and yesterday, watching the Arizona, audit hearing. They were explaining what they found. Listen to this. At a certain date, March of 2020, they're supposed to be able to go back and see to the date of the election on these software programs for elections, right? They're supposed to be able to go back to the election day. You cannot go back past March. You can't see anything past March. So but what they did see is 37,000 entries into the voting system. Now, this is after the election. Somebody went in there 37,000 times. They were adjusting, moving, manipulating all of the information they could.
This is a comedy. This will not happen in the jungle in Africa, in some country in Africa where they are just third or fourth world country. This is happening in America.
Well, that's why the world is laughing. And Biden as president, I mean, this is what we got. People, I think common sense is telling people Biden could not have won. But the reality
he got, 81 or 82 million votes, more than Hillary, more than Obama. a man who have a sick record of 40 or 50 years or maybe 100 years working as a senator. I mean, literally, what did he accomplish in his life besides being in debt in a criminal activity with China and Russia before he become a president? Can you share with me anything besides being a criminal with China and Russia, with his family, with his son and his brother? That's what it is. That's how much he did.
Yes, but Usama, even if people didn't know anything about that, even if they just say, oh, yeah, they lie about every candidate, if people are saying that, I want you to ask yourself this question. How is it that Biden won when he couldn't bring out 50 people to come out and hear him speak? And they said, oh, it's social distancing. Do you remember seeing those people sitting 50 feet apart,
maybe Mr. Trump. Yeah, maybe Mr. Trump for 2024 needs to campaign from some basement of one of his buildings. Maybe then he will win for sure. I mean, the guy is a joke.
Yeah, let me tell you a video that I also saw on, I think it was on OAN. Anyway, they were showing him. He went out to make a speech. I can't remember where it was. It wasn't the Pennsylvania speech that he just made, but it was another one that he made, maybe possibly in Virginia, maybe possibly in Michigan. I don't know where it was because it's so hard to believe he actually left the basement of the White House. But he went out there to speak, and it was supposed to be a rally. They were trying to compete with Trump is having these huge rallies again, right? So he goes out to speak, and there he is, and he's just talking away. And, of course, you see the camera on him, so you don't really see the crowd or anything. But then some people that were there wanted to take some pictures with him. So the president, we'll call him that for now, said, oh, we need to show these people. We need to take some pictures with them. So they turned the camera to see the people that were listening to him. There were like 15 people sitting under a tent. And he was just as happy as could be to go over there and mingle with the crowd. It was ridiculous.
Remember the circles they make, like, I don't know, 25, 30 circles, and each circle have one guy or one lady?
Yes. So they were saying it was social.
How about the rally
distancing
of cars, where you have like 8 or 10 cars and one another rally, 8 cars? Please.
It was crazy. Please. So that's what I'm saying. Common sense. It doesn't matter what you know about his politics.
Another fact, normally when the president runs for the second term, he gets less votes. Even when they win, like Obama, have less votes, and he won the second term, okay? Where Mr. Trump got, I believe, 10 or 11 million more votes? That is not counting the votes they give to Biden from him.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I guarantee you, if he took all his votes back from Biden, he would get another 10. He maybe got 20-some million extra votes in the first term. You have to be really not gullible. You have to be a mental sickness handicap. You cannot think. You cannot remember. You know what I'm saying? To believe in that, it's a joke. It's a con.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I think some people do believe it, but if they believe it, it's because of the propaganda, because it is big. This propaganda is big. When I'm hearing people that I know are intelligent and have some sense, but you see, there were a lot of people who weren't paying all that much attention to the election when it was going on. They just listened to hear who won. So when they hear that Biden won, they just accept that, Biden must have won. So they're having all these problems because who are these horrible people that are trying to overturn Biden's free and fair election? They think that those individuals who are questioning the election are just, sore losers. Or they're trying to call people now, insurrectionists. They're throwing all this propaganda out there.
White supremacists. Yes,
Nazis,
ma'am.
All this stuff.
Nazis,
but and so all of that is due to the propaganda that is out there in the media. And it's the same thing with their attempt to force every American to take a vaccine. And you know, now Jen Psaki just came out from the White House, and you know, maybe our program will get banned because I said something about the vaccines. They're telling Facebook and these social media that they need to stop Americans from saying things about the vaccine, that you can't say there are problems with it. People can't report their side effects.
Mr. O'Biden said if they don't, then they're killing the American people.
Yeah, the Facebook is killing Americans if they don't stop these false posts. Well, I'm sorry. I just think that Americans have a right to make these decisions. After all, are not all the pro-abortion people saying, it's my body, it's my choice? Yeah, that's what they want to say about abortion. But it's not my body and my choice when it comes to a vaccine. Give me a break.
Sure, because we want you to be vaccinated. These are the people without standards. The people who are in one thing, they go to the right, another thing go to the opposite in the left. If it is my body and I kill my, if it's still my body and I don't want your stupid injection inside me. End of story.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know, it's something, it's something that I think people can understand. It's been building for a long time, and one of the reasons is because Christians have not stood up and spoken the truth boldly about these issues. I remember when I lived in Oregon over 35 years ago, maybe more. They started this thing to protect this certain tree because there was this certain bird. It was an owl that lived in this tree. And so they didn't want these trees cut down. But they were shutting down businesses and industry that depended on the lumber for their livelihood. Mm. And these forests were, being replenished. It isn't like they were just cutting down every tree and leaving nothing. They had to replenish the forest, but they wanted to use the forest to for lumber and jobs. And there were a lot of jobs in Oregon tied around this. So people were trying to stop them from cutting down the tree. And they started calling them, some more conservative people that didn't like this, they called them tree huggers. And you know what I noticed is so weird? Is these people would chain themselves to these trees to stop a tree from being killed and to stop an owl from being killed. These were the same people that were demanding that a woman have a right to abort her unborn baby at any time.
Sure.
Now,
sure.
You know, what is the morality of that? People cannot understand that you would lay down and chain yourself to a tree to protect an owl and to protect a tree, but you will not protect an unborn
child.
You know what's
amazing? You know, when I go to the scripture, Christy, and the fool says in his heart there is no God, and God laughs from heaven. When God brings the fire all over Oregon and California and Washington State, I'm not kidding you. I was in Oregon, a few months ago when I spoke in Oregon in January or February of last year. So here I am in Oregon, and there was big fire. And I said, how many? I said, hundreds of thousands of acres. I mean, literally, the whole
really
trees
bad.
Are burned to the ground. And I said, where are the tree huggers? Why they don't go there, hug the trees? So, or the tree kisser, or the tree licker, whatever you want to call them, why didn't go and stop the fire from burning the trees? Thousands of acres, Christy, homes. I mean, thousands of homes were burned to the ground. And wait a minute. Maybe if we have did our job to cut the old trees and to cut the big trees, don't get old, they don't die, and they plant the new trees, and clean our brushes and clean our field and our mountains, maybe we don't have these fires. So what they're hugging and kissing to protect for 30, 40 years, the Lord take it in 1 week. In 1 week.
Yeah,
bring it down with homes worth millions and millions of dollars. Billions of dollars.
It's the quote from the news article here that I have is conditions they have never seen before. Deadly wildfires ravaged nearly 1 million acres of land across western U.S.
Yeah.
So
the Lord is there.
Yeah,
the Lord is there to laugh. He is laughing when he burned all these trees and homes with it. And I say, where are the tree huggers? They're not there.
Yeah, it's a
They run away
and
leave the tree to be burned to the ground with their homes with it.
Yeah, it's a really sad situation because we used to have what we call forest management. And those things were done to preserve the forest, but yet take down the lumber that was needing to be cut and clearing out the brush instead of just letting it go. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Usama, I just had a couple of other comments that I wanted to make about the spread of persecution of Christians around the world. Again, this is showing a serious problem and a serious and important thing for Christians to be praying about. And whatever support that is out there, that is going out there, there are some ministries that are going out to try and help in these situations where we're seeing in Algeria, okay, a Christian has been sentenced for abandoning Islam and spreading Christianity. He's been jailed. He's trying to appeal his sentence. We don't think of Algeria as an extreme Muslim country, but here we go.
Nope.
Somebody left Islam, and now he's in prison. If they follow through with what the Quran would order, he need to be killed. So we need to pray for this. When people are spreading the gospel in a country of that kind of persecution, also in Cuba, there was one of the people arrested or at least has disappeared. A lot of people in Cuba were killed. One of them is a Cuban pastor, and the family does not know where he is or what has happened to him. Again, people being arrested in Cuba, some of them may never be heard from again or may go be thrown into prison and charged with charges that will bring a life sentence just because they were out protesting what was going on. Now, here's the last one that I wanted to share. There's always persecution going on in Nigeria, and it's just getting worse and worse. But here's where Chinese pastors, remember I told you they changed the teaching of the Bible, actually killed the woman, not saved her from being stoned to death. He actually killed her himself. This is crazy. But also Chinese pastors are now being told that they must preach on Xi Jinping's anniversary speech, saying only socialism can save China. So now they have to preach sermons that include that the Chinese party and only socialism can save China. Huh. Isn't that interesting? Socialism is the solution. In China, no Jesus. You don't get saved by Jesus. God can't help you. Just socialism. And what are we hearing here in America? Same thing. Socialism rises up as an antichrist. It's an antichrist. It's an antichrist philosophy. And it leads to communism, which is a totally anti-God philosophy because the state wants to be God. And do you know any people in Washington, D.C. that act like they want to be God?
They're all gone. They're all gone. If you start to from actually, this time I saw Al Gore talking about saving Mother Earth, and I thought, man, the guy talked like if he's God. And you know what? I think he believed he is God.
Well, the Bible says that this is a problem with man, that in some of the most what common cults, you'll find there is always this little thing that happens somewhere deep down in the teaching, is that man can become a god. Man can become a god. That is at the heart of many of the cults that even are here in America. And you'll have people who rise up as prophets, and they say they are a god. That's where it says they will say that they are Christ. It doesn't mean they said they're Jesus necessarily, but to be Christ is the anointed one. It is the one God sent. And there are many who are saying that, and they're telling others, you can also be a God. Same thing that we have in this philosophy of government that's coming out of Washington, D.C. right now. They really, truly believe they are the ruling class, and the rest of us are nothing.
The belief of Mormons?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Do you believe it's the same belief of Mormons?
Well, Mormons believe that, but others do too. And the Mormons believe you have to do all these things to become worthy. The socialists believe you just have to oppress and lie and cheat your way to become the ones who control the world, which is saying you're God. Yeah. Hey, I got another caller. I think it's our same person, maybe Tom. And let me let him bring him back on here if you're ready. Do that?
Sure.
Thomas? All right.
Sure, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes. Is this Tom again?
Yes, yes. I wonder, you were talking about Mormon. I was asking when you saw him, do you believe that Jehovah's Witnesses have the truth, or do you think they're a false religion? They claim to be Christian and believe in Jesus.
Yeah, but they believe in a Jesus that isn't the biblical Jesus, so I do believe Jehovah's Witnesses are a cult.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they believe Jesus is a Michael
and
the Archangel.
And by the way, Brother Tom, if you join us next Saturday, if you join us next Saturday, we'll have Brother Sam Shamon will be with us, and I want them really to talk about Jehovah's Witness and expose their falsehood. So if you will join us next Saturday, we will talk about Jehovah's Witness in a great apologetic session of an hour and a half or so. So
is that next Saturday?
Next Saturday, right here. Same.
All right, I'll listen in. I'll listen in because I've been talking to Jehovah's Witnesses. They've been in contact. I've been talking to them a lot. And they do show a lot of scriptures, and they sound right, but something doesn't seem right to me because they say we're all going to live on Earth.
Yeah, you're going to find there's a lot of subtlety to the false teachings of American cults particularly. So I hope you'll join us because Sam Shimon is really well-versed on this. I did a lot of ministry with Mormons, and Sam Shimon is well-versed on Jehovah's Witnesses. They have their own Bible. So they had to adjust the Bible in order to accommodate their false teaching.
And that's exactly
what
Sam
does.
He actually used their Bible to expose their falsehood. But so, Brother Tom, join us next Saturday, Lord willing. All right, Christy, we're running out of time here.
Thanks,
we're
Tom.
Losing
all right,
time.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Brother Tom. Christy, how long is the teaching on?
I'm sorry, Usama. I'm sorry. Tom.
I said again, how long, how many minutes do you need for the sin of silence?
Let me look at it real quick.
Because I really want to hear it tonight. I don't mind not to teach about Abraham tonight, and we can get it after Sam, after next Saturday, because the study is not going to go anywhere. But right now it is 15 minutes after the hour. We only have a half hour or so, so I need to make sure that we have enough time to cover the sin of silence, because it fits perfectly today with what's going on in America. And I hope and I pray that as people hear it, they can share it with others and learn about we cannot be quiet. That is great sin.
Okay. You got to bear with me. We have so much stuff here, and I need to find it. But anyway, give me just a second.
All right. Well,
because
it's not
titled The Sin of Silence on here, so that's why I'm trying to read it to get it. And I'm listening to you at the same time. Just a moment. I saw it the other day, and I know it's on here, so just a second.
Well, while you're doing that, maybe sing a song. Do you want to mind if I sing a song?
Well, sure. I think I've got it.
You never heard
10 minutes.
You never heard me singing before, Christy, have you?
Oh, I've heard you sing many times.
I sing solo in Arabic and in English, solo to the point that no one can hear me.
Now,
Ari would love to have it if you have it. Yeah.
Okay. I believe this is it, but you call it the sin of silence, but I think he's talking about the way I have it titled, The Uniqueness of Christianity, and I think that is it.
All right.
I'm
what is
sure.
the length of it?
It's 10 minutes and 59 seconds.
No, that's not the right one. That is that's the uniqueness of Christianity. That
hold,
is a Christian.
Hold on.
I know what the uniqueness of Christianity. It's a good message, a gospel message to share with people about Christ. It is a tool to lead people to accept.
Okay, hold on. I need to look for it in here then. And we may not be able to play it tonight. I'm so sorry because I thought it was in there. We had it at one time, and I've had to take certain things off because we have so much material we put up there that's recorded. So
when you do programs for how many years have we been doing that now? 15
I've done
years.
I've done 756 programs.
So it's hard to remember where you put what. Good luck. But that's okay. I have the same problem in my programs, which I record with VCY, because we've done over 1,560 program or so. And then I was started recording a program, and after I started recording, I felt like, man, it seemed to me like I have done that study before. So I called the studio in Milwaukee and said, yes, Brother Usama, you already have the study done. I said, good, I'm glad you told me, because I was going to re-record the same study again. So when you pass 1,000 program, 1,500 or so, it's hard to remember what you talked about, what you did not talk about. But the sin of silence, it's a half-hour blast. It's a 35-minute radio.
Oh, okay. That's probably why I had to take it off, because it wasn't allow me to upload to a certain point. So I will be looking for it. We can play it next time.
Anything else
tonight
before
sure
we move to our study about Abraham.
Let me go back to where we are.
Because we only have maybe a half hour or so, and the time we're going to fly far ahead here.
Right, I understand.
So,
I don't think that I have anything else except to say hello to our chat room people. So I got a couple
hello
of new people.
People in the chat
I got
room.
Ted, I
hello
have Doc, and I have TP Radio.
New.
So we got some new folks joining us, and thank
you for
being with us.
Oh, everybody.
Okay, we're
all
ready.
Right, Christy, let's move on to Quran chapter 38. Quran chapter 38 with another repeat of Abraham in the Quran, which I don't think we're going to gain anything out of it, but let's see. The miracle of Islam, Allah's word, the Quran, can it be a true revelation when you talk about Abraham? No. As a matter of fact, the more you read about Abraham in the Quran, the more you know for sure that Abraham of the Quran is a fraud. And the Quran is a counterfeit to the biblical account about Abraham, about Isaac, about Jacob, about David, about Solomon, about any other name you want to pick up from the Bible and you put in the Quran. It is a foolish counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Quran chapter 38, beginning from verse 45, if you are ready, Christy Justin.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm okay. Here.
Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. And remember our servants, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who have substantial hands and visions.
Really? Whoa.
What's
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't you think it is wise for Allah to say Abraham, Ishmael, and Isaac, and Jacob?
Yeah, he keeps leaving Ishmael.
Why Allah did not? By the way, it's the same thing. We have seen that before, Christy,
mm-hmm.
when we were reading in Quran chapter 12 and in verse 38. Quran chapter 12, verse 8, he meant what? And he said, and I follow the religion of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't mention Ishmael. He mean Ishmael was not there, but that's not a problem. Anyway, the problem here is this. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If he put Abraham and Ishmael, which is the oldest brother, the firstborn, then you have a problem. Who are the children of Ishmael? At least here we have Abraham, we have Isaac, and we have Jacob. Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham, son of Terah. So obviously we see generation here. If Muhammad mm-hmm. would have put Ishmael, he would not know what name to put for his kids. In the Quran, we do not know too much about Ishmael, which Muslims brag about. He is the father of their ancestors, the Muslim, which obviously mm-hmm. is not true. And I'll repeat again. Ishmael is the father of the Ishmaelites who lived between Havala, Iraq, north of the Saudi Arabia Peninsula, and Arab are the children of Keturah, whom Abraham married after the death of Sarah, and you read this information in Genesis chapter 25. But here we go, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why not Allah mention Ishmael? Don't you think Ishmael is important? I mean, according to Islam, he is, but once again, because if you put Ishmael, what name he's going to give for Ishmael? Not only we do not know the name of the children of Ishmael in the Quran, we do not know the name of the mama of Ishmael of the Quran, the name of the wife, or where the wife come from for Ishmael
really?
In the Quran. We know nothing about Ishmael. And as we're going to read a little bit later, we find out that Muhammad got the whole thing wrong about Abraham and Ishmael, because it was actually Abraham and Isaac. We're going to see that in a little bit in our study. But anyway, for now, they were strong hand and they have strong eyes. Is that what it is, Christy? In your reading?
Yes.
What do you mean by their hands and their eyes?
Yeah.
I can.
That's
I
nice.
Have big eyes, so I can see you, young man.
Yes.
Anyway, so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But by the way, in reality, Jacob did not have a strong eye. Jacob almost was blind.
Yeah.
You notice in
I
the biblical account,
mm-hmm. yeah.
when he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph, and he crossed his hand to bless Ephraim over Manasseh, which is supposed to be his opposite. Well, guess what? Joseph tried to fix it, and he did not. But Joseph tried to fix his hand to put the right hand on the firstborn because he realized his father cannot see. As the Bible said, he was getting old, and he can't see. So how can Allah say here that he had strong eyes? It was not 2020, Christy.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad eyes.
That's
but
right.
Anyway, let's go to verse 46. Go ahead.
Surely we favored them with pure remembering of the home.
What in the world Muhammad is talking about?
I don't know.
Don't worry, Muslim scholars do not know. Go to the next verse, 47.
And surely they are with us from the best of the chosen.
They are the best of the chosen, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now let's get to Ishmael in verse 48. And look whom Ishmael was put with. Go ahead.
And remember Ishmael and Alyaz and Zalkafel. I don't know who these people are, so I need to look.
Okay. Ishmael, you know. Elisha is supposed to be Elisha, okay, in the Bible. And
oh, wow.
is another made-up prophet by Muhammad. So what is so amazing, when Muhammad talked about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he did not mention Ishmael there. And now he's adding Ishmael to Elisha and Zulkifl, like a made-up character by Muhammad. How in the world do you put Ishmael
with Elisha when it's supposed to be Abraham's firstborn son?
Because he doesn't know who these people are.
And if Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were the best chosen one, how can he add Elisha and Ishmael and Zulkifli to them? But you know what, Christy? When you hear this in the Arabic, it is beautiful Quran. It's a miracle, as we were talking to Brother Tom earlier. Listen to the last words of every sentence, okay? Of every verse. Akhtar, Dar, Akhyar, Akhyar, Ma'ab, Abwab, Sharab. You see? Muhammad is working on the poetry, the rhyme of the words. He does not have a message. He does not have a message. Putting words together to make verses with a beautiful rhyme, beautiful poetry, and that's all we're going to get out of it. Now, move on to verse 49.
This is a reminder, and surely the best will the best return will be to the fearer.
A reminder of what? He didn't tell me anything. I mean, seriously, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember Ishmael and Elisha and Zulkifli. Remember what? What did you learn from these verses, Christy? If you are a person with logic and common sense, you mentioned to me six names of people. One of them does not exist, which is Zulkifli, made-up character. And this is a reminder of him. What about them?
Reminded us of what?
When did they live? What did they do? Anything at all? It's just a set of names? Is this the beauty of the Quran? Is that the miracle of Allah in the Quran?
Well, I think you're looking for a miracle to understand it, actually.
Exactly. It will require a great miracle from Allah for Muslims to understand these verses. But listen now to the following verse. Go ahead, verse 50.
Eden's gardens, its doors open to them.
Wow. Does the garden have doors? I mean, I don't know what imagination Muhammad was using. In the heaven, there's doors for heaven, and it will be open. What's they going to have in these heavens now? Tell me about these gardens.
They will recline in it, calling in it with many fruit and drinks.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So when Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael and Elisha and Zulkifli would get to the garden, they will recline in the recliner, and they will call it, hey, little boys. You know, if each one of them has 300 boys to serve them. Give me watermelon. Yes, sir. Here's watermelon. I need some mango. I need some date. I need some pear. I need some grapes. I need some whiskey. I need some cognac. I need some abarca, whatever chemical or alcohol drinks. All the drinks and all the fruit will be coming to them as they call on it from the little boys who will bring it to them. How about next verse, 52?
And with them are ever virgins who restrain their eyes of equal age.
Wow. Hur al-Ain, Hur al-Ain. Qasirat al-Tarafi atraban. These are the forever virgins we talk about in the Quran. This is what how Muhammad enticed his Muslim men to go and fight the, perform the jihad, because he told them, we're going to capture the blonde women, the Greek and the Roman ladies. You're going to enjoy them sexually. But if you die, you get to paradise and the 72 forever virgin. Can you imagine how Sarah would feel about Abraham having sex with these beautiful forever virgins in the heaven? What do you think Isaac's wife, Rivka, will think about? How about Jacob? Do you think Rachel and Bilhah and Leah and Zilpah would be happy to see their husband Jacob having sex with all these beautiful forever virgins? I mean, just think with me, Christy. Think with me. How in the world the godly men we read about in the Bible, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the fathers of the Jewish people, will leave their wives in the garden in prayer. I know Muhammad cared less about his wives. Even Ayusha, the favorite wife, the little 6 years old, he would care less about her if he can get one of these beautiful, forever young, forever healthy, forever virgin. Ayusha is no longer a virgin. Muhammad already took her virginity away from her, okay? So she, but in the garden, Christy Johnson, when these Muslim men will get there and they will have forever virgin, you have a man who will have sex with them, and immediately they become virgin again. Something about Muslim men and Muhammad love to have sex with virgin, not with women who lost their virginity. But who care about their earthly wife? But I'm sorry, I don't think Sarah would be very happy with Abraham if he will even think about seeing Hagar one more time for eternity if there is sex in heaven. The problem, Chris, is this. Muhammad lied to the Muslims. And not just lies to the Muslims about their future for eternity in the paradise, having sex forever 100 times a night. But he is now lying to tell them that Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and Elisha and all these wonderful great names in the Bible also will enjoy having sex in heaven and eating and drinking alcohol. Well, I'm sorry, my dear friends. The Bible is very clear. Jesus' teaching was very clear like crystal. In heaven, they do not marry and remarry. They like angels. They live like angels. In heaven, there is no sex. In heaven, there is no night. So for Muhammad to promise his Muslim gullible that in heaven, they'll have 100 times a night. They will literally, physically, sexually enjoy orgasm 100 times a night. That is a joke. Because there is no sex in heaven, there is no orgasm in heaven, there is no night in heaven. But what do you say, Christy? We're reading about Abraham and Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and Ishmael and all the good biblical names, the good prophets, will enjoy the forever virgin. So why not Muhammad and his Muslim believers, especially those who are willing to die for Allah performing jihad? Okay, next verse, Christy, next verse.
Okay. Surely this is our provision. It will never have an end. Oh, wait.
Wow.
This is what you are. Wait a minute. I forgot. I forgot one. This is what you are promised at the reckoning day.
The day of judgment. The day of judgment.
Right.
Christy, every Muslim believer believes in that. If it's good for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, for sure it's good for Muhammad and Ali and Mustafa and Abu Bakr and all the good Muslims who are willing to die for Allah today. They cannot wait to get to the paradise to enjoy sexual relationship with these forever virgins. It is for sure. It's a promise. It's a fact.
Well, according to Muhammad. Surely this is our provision. It will never have an end.
They will eat and drink and have sex. And they tell me they believe in Abraham, and they believe in Isaac, and they believe in Jacob, and they believe in Ishmael. What about the evil one? How about the non-good Muslim, the Christian and the Jew and the polytheist and all the wicked non-Muslim believers? What about them? Read for me the next few verses, if you don't mind.
Next. Verses, yes. This, and surely to the transgressors an evil return. Hell, they will roast in it, so evil is the bed. This, so let them taste hamim and pus. I don't know what that one is.
Hamim is hot. The hamim is a non-Arabic word. I don't know if they have a meaning, but in it, hamim is hot or boiled. And the bus, you know, they're going to drink, eat bus, okay? You know, when you have a cup
sick
in your hand and it makes...
Yeah, I know what that is.
Stuff.
Kind of making me gross out here. Okay, and that's others, cool. And other of the same pairs.
Oh, same pairs of what?
I don't know.
But you don't understand. This is the beauty of the Quran. This is the beauty of Islam. You don't have to understand, Christine. It's The reason you don't understand that because you're an infidel. I met one time with a Muslim guy. He said, when I told him the Quran is a dumb book, there's nothing in it. He said, the only reason you say that because you don't believe in it. If you believe in it, you will see it different. I said, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess that's the point. Okay, here we go. This is a throng plunging with you. There will be no welcome for them. Surely they will roast in the fire.
Man, have you ever had roast beef? Have you ever had roast duck?
I believe I did it one time or two.
You know,
yes.
You cook the rabbit on a fire, on a wood fire burning.
Well, no, I did not cook a rabbit. But I know what
it is,
where you have
the infidels, the Jews and the Christians, the non-Muslims, they will be like that in the hellfire. Anyway, they said,
oh,
go
lovely.
Ahead. Yeah.
They said, yet you, there is no welcome to you. You gave it to us, so evil is the final place.
Who is talking to who here?
I don't know. I guess it's
don't worry.
Allah.
No one knows. Allah knows.
I mean, you can guess,
Allah,
but I don't know.
The people in here. These are the people in hell. Or maybe Muslim scholars have different opinions. But keep going. The next verse.
They said, O Lord, whoever gave this to us, increase him with double torment in the fire.
Double roast. So, you know, so instead of you are cooked, on a temperature of 350 or 400, we'll make it 700 or 800. How about that? Do you like that? Double? I mean, these ideas, even in hell, there's different degrees. In paradise, there's different degrees. In heaven, there's the best place, the seventh heaven, and the place which is more pleasure than others, okay? And the more you do for Allah, the better your bliss you get. But in hell also, there's more places hotter than others. And the amazing thing, these people are in hell. They're burning in hell, and they're asking Allah to burn those who caused them to get to hell twice as hot in twice as hot fire. What is this? Are you drunk or you're stupid? Here's your Quran, you Muslims. Here's your beauty, the miracle of Muhammad. It's like somebody drunk making a poetry.
Well,
double fire.
It certainly sounds ominous.
Now, go to the next verse because it's going to even get better. It's going to get even sweeter here. Go ahead. 62.
And they said, why do we not see the men we were counting among the evils?
You notice, qalu wa qalu, this is the past tense. It's in the past tense. The day of judgment did not come, Christy. But Allah is telling us what people would say after the day of judgment comes. Where are the evil ones which we used to be with us? They're supposed to be burning with us here in hell. 63.
We took them as scoff, or the eyes deviated from them.
Uh-huh. Next verse.
Surely this is true. The people of the fire disputed.
Wow. I mean, I'm trying to understand how can Muslim read this stupidity, this nonsense called verses, and call it a miracle. But you know what's a miracle? Listen to this. Listen to the last word of every one of these verses. Al-Nar, Al-Qarar, Al-Nar, Al-Ashrar, Al-Asar, Al-Nar, Al-Qahar. You see, Ar.
Goodness.
Poetry. هذا فوج مقتحم معكم لا مرحبا بهم إنهم صلوا النار قالوا بل أنتم لا مرحبا بكم أنتم قدمتم لنا فبئس القرار قالوا ربنا ما قدم لنا هذا فزده عذابا ضعفا في النار وقالوا ما لنا لا نرى رجالا كنا نعدهم من الأشرار اتخذناهم سخريا أم زاغت عنهم الأبصار إن ذلك لحق تخاصم أهل النار قل أنما أنا منذر وما من إله إلا الله الواحد القهار رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما العزيز الغفار قل هو نبأ عظيم أنتم عنهم معرضون ما كان لي من علم بالملأ الأعلى إذ يختصمون إنما يوحى إلي إنما أنا نذير مبين. That is the Quran, Christy. Poetry. You translate it in English, you lost everything about it. You lost everything. When you read it in Arabic, if you are a Muslim, you shake your head back and forth, right and left, and you enjoy it without understanding it. And what is so amazing is there are Muslims all over the world who memorize it in the Arabic language, even though they don't speak two words in Arabic. It's a
wow.
work of the devil. It's a work of the devil. If you want to go ahead and read the rest of it, beginning from verse 65 to verse, from 65 to 70, that is the end of the story, which I quote for this chapter. Well, we lost Abraham, by the way. Abraham is gone a long time ago. All what you know about Abraham, him and Isaac and Jacob and Ishmael and Elisha and Zulkif, they got to the heaven, they drink and have sex. Besides that, nothing else about Abraham. And I don't know if he can get anything out of it besides that. Okay. But here he's talking about Muhammad, beginning from verse 65.
Okay. Say, I am only a warner, and there is no God except Allah, the One, the Dominator, the Lord of the heavens and the earth and what is between them, the dear, the forgiving. Say, this is great news you are turning away from. It was not for me to have a knowledge of the higher leaders when they dispute. That it is revealed to me that I am only a plain warner.
That's Muhammad speaking in the end of the chapter.
Yeah, I
can
tell.
What do we learn, ladies and gentlemen, from that nonsensical Quran about Abraham? We learned nothing.
Nothing.
It's another chapter in the Quran to learn about Abraham, and we actually learn nothing. Let's go to Quran chapter 42, Christy. Quran chapter 42. We can get that passage out to move on in our study because I don't know. It's a joke. 42. Another chapter of the Quran where Muhammad is teaching us about Abraham.
Okay.
And before we start reading, I don't think we're going to learn anything. Start from verse 13.
Okay. He established for you the religion which Noah advised with and what we revealed to you and what we advised to Abraham and Moses and Isa that perform the religion and do not be divided in it. Big to the polytheists, what you call them to. Allah chooses to himself whom he wills and guides to himself whoever turns.
Now, what we learn out of this verse here is a long three-sentence verse. There was some religion, the religion of Noah, the religion of Abraham, the religion of Moses, and the religion of Isa. That Allah wanted people to believe in it. And it is so difficult, it's so big, it's huge for the polytheists that you call them to worship in that religion. What religion? Do we learn anything about what religion is that?
Nope.
What religion, Noah? What is the religion of Abraham? What is Musa or Isa? Oh, they were all Muslims. You all believed in Muhammad, Christy Johnson. You missed it. You missed it. Remember we talked about Abraham? And Abraham told his people, you die as Muslims. And Jacob said, you tell his sons, you die as Muslims.
Yeah, I do.
And Moses was Muslim. And Isa was Muslim. They're all Muslim. You all believe in Muhammad, the child molester, the sex offender, The prophet pretended that the womanizer, the adulterer, the thief, the terrorist, the thug. They all believe in the virgins of hell or of heaven. They'll have sex with them 100 times a night. That's what they believe. That is the religion which Muslims believe in.
This is just crazy, isn't it?
Go to verse 14.
And they did not divide except after the knowledge came to them and envy between them. And were it not a word proceeded from your Lord until an appointed time, he would have judged between them. And surely those who inherited the book after them are in dubious doubt concerning it.
What Allah is talking about here? What Muhammad is talking about here?
We don't know. I mean,
that's a beautiful Quran. It's ambiguous verses. I mean, what knowledge came to them? Why they were envy? And what is the word which Allah has said from the beginning? Allah said he will fill hell with people and jinn. How you inherit the book? Why is there in doubt? Is there in doubt of what? Christy, I can ask in that one verse here 10 questions and there is no answer. Who is talking about what? And about who?
You don't know because...
Who's talking to who?
It's too vague. It's just saying a bunch of things. But it
Christy, I can give you excellent. I can give you excellent 10 different interpretations, and you believe in each and every one of them, and none of the 10 matches the others. I mean, literally, I can make up anything I want out of these verses, unless I am speaking to Allah personally. I will never know what Allah is trying to talk about here. Let's go to the next verse. Go to the next verse, verse 15.
So therefore, so invite and stand firm as you have been commanded, and do not follow their desires and say, I believe in whatever Allah has sent down of a book, and I am commanded to act fairly between you. Allah is our Lord and your Lord. To us our works, and to you your works. There is no excuse between us and you. Allah gathers between us, and to him is the final return.
Who is talking to who? What he's talking about? What is the message? What is the lesson I'm going to learn from these verses? Anything? Where is Abraham fit here? We just mentioned his name in verse 13 and that's it?
It looks like it.
Next verse.
And those who dispute in Allah, after his excuse was answered for him, he will be void with their Lord, and wrath will be on them, and they will have severe torment.
What dispute? What the dispute of Allah of what? What is excuses? Why Allah will send them to? Why Allah's anger will or wrath will be on them? Why do they have a torment?
For what? I don't know. Because you go, well, for what? You don't know what it's talking about.
You got my point, Christy? That is
yeah.
The beauty of the words of Allah in the Quran. Very ambiguous verses. And what's so amazing, the Quran declared all over it. Pure Arabic. Clear Arabic. Easy to understand. I don't understand anything. And what's so amazing, when you go read Muslim scholars, they fabricate interpretation to these verses. They are making up a meaning for verses that does not have any meaning. And if we have hours, I can get into Ibn Kathir or Al-Tabari. I love Al-Tabari. He's closer to Muhammad. And read what he said about these verses. You can't help it but to laugh. Next verse, 17.
Allah is the one who sent down the book with the truth.
Wait a minute.
Escape.
Who's speaking here? I thought the Quran is the word of Allah. So why Allah said Allah is the one who sent? Why he did not say, I sent down the book with the truth and the skill. Why Allah said in the Quran, Allah is the one who sent the book. If he is Allah, speak.
That's interesting, isn't it? It's supposed to be Allah speaking, but he keeps using
third person. Another guy. Keep going with the rest of the verse. What?
And what do you know? Perhaps the hour is near.
What hour? You're talking about the day of judgment, the hour of the end of life on earth. Well, perhaps Allah used the word perhaps. Allah does not know if the hour is near or far away. Keep going, Chris. Keep going.
Those who do not believe in it hasten it, and those who believe are in fear from it, and they know it is the truth. Are not surely those who dispute in the hour in a far away error?
Which is supposed to be the opposite. If I believe in the day of judgment and I believe in the hour of judgment, we say it in the Bible, Maran Asa, Christ coming back. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come now. No, in Islam, they're afraid of it. If you're a believer, you're afraid to stand up before God for the day of judgment. In Christianity, it's the opposite. I cannot wait to see Jesus. I cannot wait to get to heaven, the song, the writer of the song said. I can't wait to get to heaven. In Islam, I cannot, I mean, the opposite. I don't want to get to the hour. I'm afraid of it. And that is the believer. And the funny thing is that this believer, they don't care. Let it come.
Yeah, that's a big difference. And we've heard Muslims talk about that too. You know? Their Allah is very cruel.
Yeah. The next verse, Christy. Next verse.
But here it says, Allah is kind to his servants. He provides to whom he wills, and he is the strong deer.
Well, if Allah is kind, why Allah send people to hell? You know that everything about people's life, Allah guides whom he will, and he leads astray whom he will, and Allah did a great job to fill hell with heaven, with people and jinn from the beginning. Before Adam have a son or a daughter, Allah made the promise from the beginning, surely I will fill hell with human and jinn together. And that is the kindness of Allah.
Well, it's kind of like he's saying all this stuff, and it's really cruel. And then he says of himself, Allah is kind to his servants. And he is the dear and blah, blah, you know, he's the merciful. All this stuff that it says in everything you read is like the opposite. To me, it sounds like Allah is Satan. Did I say that?
Yes, you said that, and that's okay. You know what, Christy? I'm not going to read any more from that chapter because the rest have nothing to do with Abraham. It sounds like a joke. The Quran is a comedy for foolish people who have never studied, who have never understood it, and they will not have a clue what's in it. I'm not kidding you. It is stupid. It is simply stupid. No more or less than stupid. So, Lord is willing, next week we're going to have Sam Shimon with us. And the following week, if we do not have the dear brother from Canada, we're going to continue with Abraham and his father. Again, Abraham said to his father, surely I'm innocent of what you serve. Anyway, that's Quran chapter 43. Hopefully, with the next couple of meetings or so, we'll be able to finish the study about Abraham to prove to our dear listeners, to our dear Muslim friends, that your Quran is not a revelation from God. Your Quran is a joke. It's a comedy. It's a laugh. It's a sorrowful story. And that's all I can say for tonight, Christy. You have the rest of the time. You can share whatever the Lord put on your heart. Feel free to say whatever you wish.
Well, thank you. Only thing that I really want to emphasize is just to remember how blessed we are here in America to have the freedom to speak the truth. But those doors,
not for a long time,
they're
not for
trying
a long time.
To close. They're trying to close those doors. So be aware that a lot of things you're hearing that is allowed to go on and on in your mainstream media, like Usama and I were talking about earlier, is propaganda. It's not the truth. It's designed to make people believe things that are not true in order to reduce our freedom. And we need to be aware. God has given us a lesson. You know, I always was fascinated by a certain verse that says that the generation that sees the beginning of these things will not pass until all is fulfilled. This is talking about the rebirth of Israel, that this generation wouldn't pass until everything's fulfilled. And I have to tell you that, you know, I'm part of that generation. There are others that are part of that generation. And I honestly believe with all my heart that the reason God said that is because we've already seen this example in Israel. When it was birthed, it was because of the Holocaust. It was because the Jews were almost wiped out. We need to continue to speak out because we see what is coming. And the Bible says when you see the sword coming, you sound the alarm. And if you don't sound the alarm, then the blood will be on our hands. We've talked about this before, Usama, and I think that when we see the things coming and we see this coming together again of Islam, socialism, which is Nazism, this critical race theory and the denigration of America and the desire to remove all of our weapons as citizens in the United States, I think it's kind of like not only is the writing on the wall, but we should see a sword coming and start sounding the alarm. You know, I'm praying that things can be turned around, but it'll only be by the grace of God. If God's people humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, that's when he'll hear from heaven and heal our land. If we do that, anyway, that's all I had, Usama. Usama, you still there? Because I'm going to start playing our ending.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I was just say amen and amen. Thank you
all right,
so much,
thank
Christy.
You.
God bless you all. You have a wonderful good night. Keep us in your prayer. I'll be traveling the next few days to Pennsylvania. Iowa, come back to Missouri, so keep me in your prayers.
Perhaps
thank you.
The greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.